Good afternoon.
Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? I believe the name of this month is September 11. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
God, I hate those stings. I hate them so fucking much. They're too short. It drives me crazy.
Man, that's a month away. I forgot. I got to warm that button up.
It's too much.
Got to make sure I know where that button is at any time. Quick on the draw, man, for the thriller stand.
My head's going to blow up.
The spooktacular. Hi, welcome to a month of musicals and the final month on the planet, I think.
That's it?
It's been cheery. It's been a cheery it's time this September. September 11. I don't know, most of the country probably doesn't care too much. The Northeast and the Southeast were hit pretty hard recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the people that I know in New York that were affected by this and the people that I don't know that were affected. And
no, just the ones you know.
Yeah, no, it's
if I don't
crazy.
Know you, you're yeah. on your own.
Yeah, if you don't listen to the podcast, if you don't help our iTunes numbers, you're dead to me.
Oh my gosh.
I was fine, by the way, during the flood. I was perfectly okay.
Adam, good to know.
You know,
I'm glad that on your massive hill in the middle of a made up town in Connecticut.
I was good. I was perfectly happy chilling out there. You know, it was a pleasant storm.
Don't you just love the rain?
It's just a nice little drizzle.
Just the pitter patter on the window.
Yeah, I love
on the
it.
Window pane.
Cleaned my car off a little bit. It was nice.
Yeah, I also am, I think, located on a good spot. Because there were definitely areas of the town, and you drove through them. You know all yes. about this, that were well underwater. And I know people that lost power around here, people that like their basements are just fucked. It's been actually in this area like a pretty tragic couple of days.
Yeah, driving through it, I was kind of shocked by how bad it got.
Yeah, and there were other incidents that of death and destruction that I'll actually talk about on Two Cents.
Oh boy,
not to tease the death and destruction of my local community too much, but
I have a friend who lives in Massachusetts who's constantly shitting on Ohio and right. like just constantly like giving us a hard time. And what she was freaking out. She's like, there's tornado warnings. Like, yeah. It's nice out here.
There's a fucking tornado in New Jersey. A big one.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yep.
The Jersey videos were nuts.
I'm sure Rob bother, is like laughing his ass off.
Laughing at us.
I guarantee Rob
at
out
our
there.
Misery.
Absolutely.
Well, Rob has dealt with flooding, but I don't think it was like, you know, a once in 100 years, God has decided to wipe humanity of its sins.
Well, there's also no body of water in Nebraska.
Right. They did get hit years ago because it was so cold that
yes.
a bunch of dams broke. And essentially these giant blocks of ice formed and burst through all these dams. And it was a big incident in Nebraska for months. Rob didn't have running water or clean water, I should say, for months on end. And he was just like showering in this like sewage water, essentially.
That's horrifying.
This rusty, brownish water. But,
which is why he's justified in laughing, I think.
Yeah, so now I think he got the last laugh as, right, the Northeast just... It's crazy. Remnants of a hurricane from the south.
Yeah. And then when we get directly hit, it doesn't do shit.
Right. When we get directly hit with Henri.
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 Henri. Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
I got all these batteries for that shit. Got my flashlight stocked up.
I love how it sets up for you to like put your guard down where it's like, okay, we're preparing. Oh, nothing happened. I guess we're going to throw it away.
Or it's the old rope-a-dope.
Yeah. And then they come and get you.
Exactly.
By like the leg of a storm. It just like slaps us. And that's all we get.
Exactly. You eat all your canned goods. You just go through everything.
Yeah.
You use up all your toilet paper. And then when you're least expecting it,
like, oh,
your
what's...
house washes away to the sea.
Let's go get a pizza. Then you drive down the road. Oh, it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Shout out to New York, though, man. And New Orleans. New Orleans actually got it worse. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Obviously,
yeah.
New York's the mecca. So, but yeah. Anyway. What else is new? How are we?
I got sick at the beginning of the week, so there was that. It's been a shit week for me.
Excuse me?
I got sick at the beginning
Excuse
of the
me?
Week.
Excuse me?
Not COVID sick.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure. because my symptoms were very specific.
Okay.
And they were not COVID related at all.
Oh.
I mean, I'm best to explain it. It's like a very like Joey Diaz-esque story. The best way I can explain it.
I think what Adam's trying to say is he's been taking, ivermectin and he shit himself in the grocery store. I think that's what he's trying to tell us.
Did you get all the worms out?
Well, I don't know. I went to...
Does it still itch?
Yes. Anyway. I went... So I went to a winery on Sunday. And, you know, it's fine there. It's kind of a shitty day, but we're just chilling out, having a grand old time. And there are, you know, there are chickens everywhere.
Look at all those chickens.
All those chickens.
I have that thing on my soundboard.
You do?
I don't, though.
Ugh.
Go ahead.
How's it going? Anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. I do.
What?
Look at all those chickens.
That's my favorite. I love it.
Wow.
I can't believe you have that.
What have I been saving that for? I guess this moment.
This is it.
Why
when
do you
Adam
have
talks
that?
About fucking chickens.
I've never heard that before.
I don't know.
It's on your soundboard.
It's in a folder called random. I have a folder called random and it has just a bunch of, you know.
You're just renewing all these old subscriptions right now. They haven't been used in a year.
Oh, man.
What?
Breaking Bad. Money.
And his name is John C.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that one is...
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
And...
Yeah, that one's got to be useful for making jokes about running away.
Yeah. All those Flintstones references we throw out there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay, my God.
What were you saying?
Okay. I lost my train of thought there for a second.
Let me refresh it.
Okay.
Look at all those chickens.
Oh, yeah, the chickens. Anyway, so we're at this winery, and I'm watching these chickens, and they're going along like the grapevines, right? And they're just pecking at the grapes, and they're eating all these grapes. And I was like, well, if the chickens can have their grapes, why can't I?
Oh, no.
So we go over to take pictures at one point, and I start, like eyeing these grapes and these little bulbous sacks there.
You are a special kind of idiot.
Yes. And, you know, I decide I'm not going to take a bunch. I'm just going to take one. So I took this one little grape. And
how plump was the grape?
It was quite plump.
Okay.
And my God, the best grape I've ever tasted in my life. This grape made for wine. It was just the best thing ever. But okay. You know, they say don't take the forbidden fruit. It's not because God doesn't want you to have sex, okay? It turns out it's because if you do, you're gonna be shitting your brains out for the next 2 days, because that's exactly what I fucking did.
Mistakes were made.
Oh boy, I didn't realize. Oh wait,
one grape did this.
One singular little grape. My God, the high that those pesticides give you is amazing. I mean, you think that wine is strong? Just lick a grape and you're all set, bro.
What the fuck?
But the hangover.
Wow.
I must have taken 20 shits the following day.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was going to die. I thought I had dysentery. And I took another... I took 10 the following day. It was rough, man. It got to the point where it would come, but it wouldn't, like, quite squeeze out. So I had to, like, squat on the seat like Gollum and just, like, spread my ass cheeks so I can get this thing out. I looked I looked like a gargoyle on the top of Notre Dame or something.
Stop, 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 stop.
I set fire to Notre Dame. It was quite bad.
Wow.
Because I was doing this at work, mind you, and I'm going to the bathroom like every 5 minutes. It was the most embarrassing thing ever.
I mean, so I think in your discomfort, you discovered a medical breakthrough. That would be my take.
A laxative through pesticides.
Right. It is the most effective laxative I've ever heard of.
It was, I felt like I was raped, man. It was
Jesus Christ.
And
Adam.
The chickens are just
the chickens are dancing,
nibbling on these things all day.
The chickens are dancing around the grapes like it's nothing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, wow. It was rough. It was quite rough, but I was cleaned. I was clean.
The new cleanse.
Yeah, it was cleansed out through grapes and pesticides. One grape. Just one.
You had quite the week.
Yeah,
I did. Oh, we should tell that story about the guy with the parrot jacket.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Wait, that was last week, right?
That was the previous day.
It was that same day, I think.
No, because we went to the winery the following day.
Oh, right. But the same day we did the last podcast,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So Adam and I don't hang out because we don't like each other that much, but so we only get together for the podcast. And so this is one of the rare instances where we actually went out into the real world and, like, you know, let ourselves be seen in public together. And, you know, so we went out with a group of friends to this, what would you call it? It was like it's a parking lot with a lot of food trucks in it.
It's a brewery is what it really was. You go there to drink is really what it was.
Right. It's a brewery with a lot of food trucks. Yeah. And so we're right. So we go to this place and, you know, out of the corner of Abigail's eye,
Abigail,
there is a man with a parrot jacket. And what I mean by that is, do you have the pictures?
No, I don't.
Get Abby to send you the pictures.
Oh my God.
And so you can show Nick, just so we can demonstrate. Nick, the man had a old school, like, was it a fedora? What do you call those hats? Is it a bowler hat?
I think it was a fedora. Yeah.
What are those hats? It's a very thick brim that goes all the way around the hat, and it's a flat top.
I would call that a fedora, personally.
A fedora, I think, has a little crease in the middle. But it
didn't have a crease?
I guess it didn't.
Yeah, no,
I think
no,
it's
no,
a bowler
right.
hat.
Yeah, okay,
I think that's what you're talking about.
But it was bedazzled all throughout.
Okay,
and then he had a bright neon blue pants, blue pants.
Okay,
and a jacket with parrots all over it. It was like jungle leaves and bristles and bushes with parrots sprinkled throughout, and jewelry covering his knuckles to the point where you can't even see the skin underneath. Like, it was insane. And he was also like 70.
Yes.
He was very old. He
Did
was
he
an
think
old
he was
guy.
Going to a Jimmy Buffett concert? Did he get maybe. Mixed up?
Yeah, I think maybe he took a wrong turn, or like he didn't know where to rip the ticket stub, and like Jimmy was playing down the street, and I'm not sure what it was, but he was just roaming around with a drink in his hand, and Abby being, I would say, dangerously curious, similar to your dangerous curiosity for the grapes that the chickens are eating. She was dangerously curious of, like, I must speak to this guy, because a guy that dresses like that is just begging to be spoken to.
The reason why she wanted to talk to him is because he reminded her, or at least in part, the attire reminded her of her grandfather's
right.
attire.
So it reminded me of the Amazon rainforest. But
me too.
I suppose, yeah, you could also be reminded of a relative too. So she goes up to him and starts engaging him in conversation, and he's talking about how he just moved to, what was it, Thailand?
No, he moved back from Thailand.
He came back from Thailand, and Abby took a picture of him, like a GQ cover shoot, of him in front of his Beamer, like his old, what was that car?
It was a Firebird, actually.
Firebird, okay.
Yeah, it was a Firebird.
So, you know, they're talking, and then finally, what Abby realizes is that this man is insane. This man is nuts, and I probably shouldn't be speaking to this individual any longer than 10 minutes, or else my life is in danger. So she tried cutting off the conversation, and it just wouldn't stop.
Didn't work.
She just, you know, he was just harassing her and telling her how much she looked like Laura Dern, and which, by the way, good point. Good point.
Yeah.
It's one of the better comparisons I'd heard in a while.
Yeah.
Celebrity lookalikes, continues to harangue her, and finally walks away and begins, like, talking to who I assumed was his group. because they were older and, you know, the same demographic, whatever. Not the case. Not just another table of people that he decided to harass for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And when they gave up on him, he came back to us. And then Abby took off, bolted for the brewery inside. And then I was stuck with him. Listening all about Thailand.
We were passing this guy off. Let's be very clear. We were he was going between you, me, and Abby. He wasn't
like the disease in It Follows. You were passing this guy off.
He wasn't dangerous, as far as I could tell.
I'm happy I didn't give him my address.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I would say dangerous, but I'm happy in hindsight that he doesn't know any identifying information about me.
I'd be more terrified if I looked out the window and saw this guy other than Michael Myers.
No question.
Like Jesus Christ.
No question.
Just wouldn't stop. Oh, my God.
No one on Halloween would dress like that, you know?
That would be an interesting movie. Blue pants and a parachute.
This man was incredible.
Yes.
He sounds horrifying.
Personally. I'm like, why did you move to Thailand? He's like, I don't know. There was just something about Thailand calling my name for decades.
My name's Thai.
I legally changed my name to Thai. Thai food.
I didn't think about that. He probably meant it literally.
He was talking about how the hospitals in Thailand are so much better than the hospitals in America.
That was funny.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This guy was out of his goddamn mind.
Off his rocker.
And I, you know, like we're I walk into the other, into the building where they're serving the beer and whatnot. And I'm just giving Abby that look. And she's just like, I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I'm like,
couldn't help herself. She ate the forbidden fruit.
Yes, she did.
Conversation with the parrot man.
The evening, I
can't get away from this idea that the hospitals in Thailand are better. does he mean it's easier to get a ketamine prescription?
Probably. Like, this is probably exactly what it means. Well, I was in and out of that thing. Didn't have to wait. None of that.
No lying. I just said ketamine and they handed it to me.
I'll have the huge, Doc.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Afternoon that was.
It did make up for itself when I got roped into a fantasy football draft.
Live fantasy football
which
draft.
Which was freaking me out. I rolled with it. I was like really cool with the guys. I was actually quite proud.
You understood the anxiety that those things can induce, though. You know what's around the corner for me in about 4 hours.
I was actually proud of myself with how well I handled it. But boiling beneath the surface is like, I can't fucking do this, man. Yeah. I can't fucking do this. I need Nico. So we literally...
it was a godsend. This league was a godsend.
It's quite literally, I think my words are like, hold on, I got a guy.
Right.
I got a guy outside. Just give me a second.
I think I'm in that league.
I think you are.
I think I am. Because as far as I can tell, there wasn't a 12th team that was drafting there. They were just going around the bar, just getting other pieces of input. And then he wanted like my address and my name and shit. So I think I'm in.
Yeah.
They have my name. I'm in the league. I don't know how to get to the league, but I'm in it.
You're good.
Yeah, and I think I have Christian McCaffrey. I'm pretty sure.
This is what you have to do. You need to hedge your bets with other fantasy draft people.
Yeah.
you need to be like, if I don't win this one, I could win this one over here.
Oh, I'm doing that already, kid.
What?
Don't worry about that. I've got three going.
Well, now you have four.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah, that was quite an afternoon. It reminds me why I don't go out with Adam.
I warned you. I warned you a little late. You. But,
I am witness to this.
That's why I don't see them socially ever. Okay.
I didn't think Abby would text you before me. I was like,
we didn't talk about this on the show.
I didn't think she would do that.
Abby texts me like, do you want to go out on Saturday?
I was like, oh no.
Food truck. And I go, sure. About 2 hours later, I get a text from Adam. Why are you going to this? Why did you say yes? What the fuck? Like, Paul Revere, hang the fucking lantern. Let me know that the British are coming. You gotta let me know. Give me the heads up. This is your job.
I was telling Abby. I was like, Abby, there is no way Nico enjoys this. There's no fucking alternate Spider-Man universe where Nico enjoys this, okay?
You know what they did first? And I'll spare some of the details. I'll spare some of the details.
I apologize, by the way.
I'll spare some of the details on this.
This is...
We leave at 2 o'clock. I have not been fed. I have not been fed all day. I'm very angry as is. I let it be known that I'm hungry, but I'm also told that there's food that I would enjoy at this food truck place. Fine. Let's get to the food truck place then at 2. No need to eat. First, we got to go pick up Abby. Abby goes, guys, I told everybody else 4 o'clock. In the meantime, I need to swing by Old Navy to pick up a birthday present.
And immediately.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
My heart sank for Nico just because I knew immediately he was just crushed. You've never.
Next thing I know, it's smash cut, freeze frame. I bet you're wondering how I got here. Adam and I are in Old Navy with Ariana Grande music playing in the background. As 13-year-olds and their moms are looking for like charm pieces for their bracelets. Adam's holding a fucking bag from DSW.
I am.
Wow. It's like, Nico, it's like you had a girlfriend without any of the benefits.
Exactly. That's what I said. Yeah. At least he has an excuse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm standing there, arms crossed.
There is nothing worse than like third wheeling a shopping spree. Oh my God. It's the most.
Shopping sprees are already the worst.
But that's the thing.
Put like, the third wheel element on top of it.
It is torturous. I just like knew, oh my God, this is Nico's.
You should have just left. You should have just called an Uber and went home.
I didn't have a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, called an Uber.
I was driving.
No, it's crazy. God.
So oh, Nico was, I turned to Abby. He's like, Nico has expressed this to me on many different occasions. How much he fucking hates exactly what we're doing
I
right
hate
now.
Shopping. I hate it so much. I hate it so much. I tried salvaging the day going to Dick's Sporting Goods. Didn't work.
Nope.
I'm watching these two browse for sneakers.
I got sneakers. I'm wearing them right now.
Are those the kicks?
Oh, look at them. They're very reflective in the camera.
I just bought these jeans at Old Navy yesterday.
So you willingly went to Old Navy?
I needed jeans.
Yeah, that's my Guantanamo Bay.
Mm. I was there for 15 minutes.
That's my Kabul. I was there for less. It was Kabul. Like, honestly, I'd rather be waiting for a helicopter at a fucking the U.S. Embassy in Kabul than what I went through the other day with these people.
Yeah. It was rough, man. It was rough for Nico. I could feel the pain.
It was tough.
I could feel
DSW,
the pain.
DSW, Nick. Nope. When's the last time? You know the thing about DSW?
I hate DSW.
Awful store.
It.
Awful store. One of the worst.
More shelves that I don't want than anywhere I've ever been in my whole life.
Crazy.
So many shoes I don't want.
What is it with shoes? It's 90% of shoes on the rack you don't want.
They're awful. Most shoes are hideous.
What is that?
I don't know.
The shelves in DSW, Nick, they only go waist high. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you see everybody.
You're exposed. You're naked. Everybody's looking at what shoes you're... All the loafers that you're into. All the Crocs. You can't buy Crocs at a DSW. Everyone in the store will see you. A red flag will be alerted. The security cameras will catch you trying on Crocs.
Crocs are back, dude.
I've noticed.
Crocs are back.
I've noticed. What is happening with the Crocs? I've seen them.
I used
People
to wear
like
them when I was
unironically.
On the swim team.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah.
Man, listen. Okay. So.
What now?
All right. If you had to decide who played fucking Venom, Topher Grace if you would have, what would be, it's the year is 2008 and you're told in 2021, one of these two things will make a massive comeback. Topher Grace, the actor, or Crocs, the shoes. Which would you have chosen? Because Crocs would have been at the absolute bottom of the list. Absolute bottom.
Over Topher Grace?
Yeah, or MTV, like playing music videos.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like those are just things that I assumed they were in, like, you know, with hula hoops and fucking yo-yos and Pet Rocks. I just thought that they were in the dustbin of, or in the trash bin of history.
How does this happen though? I want to know.
They're back.
Yeah, they are. I see them everywhere.
Point being, if you're going to buy Crocs, make sure you go to the stores with the tallest shelves and the least surveillance and nobody in there and wear a hood and sunglasses and make sure you sneak out. You can't go to DSW.
Well,
the whole store
just
sees
get them
what
delivered.
You're shopping for.
Just get them delivered.
That's true.
Why are you trying Crocs on?
Industry.
I need to see if these fit. How do they feel when you walk with them on?
Yeah. Anyways.
Wow. Anyway, that was my Saturday afternoon with the Halls.
That is, aw, that's sweet.
The Halls. That will be my last outing with the Halls ever, by the way.
I used to wear Crocs when I was on the swim team. I said that earlier, but yeah, that was a real thing that we used to do. So
goodness.
But at least it was relegated just to the swim team. Kind of as a joke to what I remember, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right, Nick, any personal escapades from the last week of your life?
Because we had a few. You owe us.
Just boring old wedding shopping stuff.
Nick's getting married next week, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
How exciting.
Bought a dress shirt. Got some wine. Little things here and there that I need to...
We need to do a pre-wedding pod, I think.
Yeah.
What that will be, I don't know, but...
A bachelor party.
Is
there a bachelor party movie? I think there's a movie called Bachelor Party.
There probably is.
I don't know.
We do a season of The Bachelor.
We need to do something bachelor related for Nick's virtual bachelor party.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, okay. We will. In the meantime. All right, let's go. Repo! Exclamation point. The genetic opera. Nick, explain yourself.
I mean, I saw this movie a long time ago, and I've mentioned it many times with absolute disdain coming from Adam, and so I thought, let's do it.
That's why you did it? Because something that would get at me?
Well, no, not specifically, but, like, you know, but it is a musical.
But it helped?
It is. I mean, like, try and tell me this movie is not Us.
Very much Us.
Oh, it's very, 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 very much
right.
Us. But, boy.
I watched this many years ago with a friend of ours named Samantha Bradley.
Just got lunch with her the other day.
Yeah.
I have updates.
Wait, how old were you when you saw this?
Oh, God. I think it was still relatively new. And it came out in 2008.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Her and I used to watch horror movies. We used to watch, like, the Saw movies and stuff.
Keep in mind, too, this is like peak Hot Topic emo goth shit.
That is a good point, yeah.
Particularly for kids of our age, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it must have been like freshman year of high school, something like 2010 or something like that. Or
yeah, probably. That makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah. But God, I watching this with the eyes of a 25-year-old, I did not realize how bad this movie was.
Mm.
Also, I didn't realize how many people I would recognize from the movie that when I was younger, I did not.
Some Wattat alumni are in this.
Did you know Paul Sorvino was an opera singer?
He's very good.
I certainly didn't know that.
I didn't know that at all.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Opera singer.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Paulie from Goodfellas sang opera. Who would have thought?
It does kind of make sense. He does have that sort of operatic presence, I suppose.
He's got that look.
And that voice. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Paris, our girl, Paris Hilton, makes an appearance here.
Was this like her acting debut or something?
She wasn't acting, guys. This is a real life portrayal of Paris Hilton. Let's just be very clear.
I don't know. I know that it was her first award-winning role in that she won Best Worst Supporting Actress at the Razzies.
Good for her.
So, I mean, there you go. This is...
Alexa Panavega? Come on.
Yeah.
Spy Kids?
That's true.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shiloh. Oh, of course.
Spy Kids.
You were thinking of it the whole time. Like, I know this girl.
Yeah, Carmen. Yeah.
And for me, you guys probably don't really recognize Anthony Stewart Head.
I did recognize him, but I think I've seen him in other horror movies, and I know he was in Buffy.
Yeah, I know him from Buffy. He was the Repo Man, the father.
Oh, I did recognize him. Okay, yeah. I remember the crazy guy, the brother. I always forget his name, but he's in a bunch of Rob Zombie films.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually the best part of any Rob Zombie film. But yeah,
yeah. And I also thought like he was quite fun in this.
Yeah, everyone's kind of fun, I guess.
I had a good time with this one. Okay, so here's my takeaway, and I'll go big picture and then we'll really get into the weeds because I have a lot of very specific thoughts about this. Did I like it? No, I didn't. But actually, I definitely didn't like it, but it is so specific.
Yeah.
To the era, to the fan base, to the culture, in that no one would ever ask for something like this. No one would ever ask for a horror musical with straight like emo Evanescence, like, My Chemical Romance songs throughout the whole thing. And clearly no one was asking for it because it made no money at the box office. I mean, it is a colossal failure at the box office. But you have to respect something that you know, you would never think of as an idea and no algorithm would ever spit out. And I think that's sort of what I appreciated in it, in a world where like everyone or every movie is produced by the Don Cheadle algorithm in Space Jam 2. Mm. I kind of appreciated something that is such a Frankenstein's monster of bad taste.
Yeah.
You know, even if none of them are for me, it's clearly for someone and I'm happy for those people.
I actually feel like as much as I don't like this and I know it's bad, I do feel like I have a lot of good things to say about it as well.
Yes.
The movie doesn't lie to you. It tells you exactly what it is and it's consistent the whole way through.
That's very true.
And I kind of appreciate that. Once you know what you're in for, which is like horrible, annoying, shitty, like rock opera for an hour and a half nonstop. It's fine.
I sense something coming. I sense a take brewing.
Oh,
Adam Adam's hates corner. This, I'm pretty sure.
I sense a take brewing.
Oh, this movie's a piece of fucking shit. This movie's fucking terrible. It's god awful. I saw this when it came out.
Wow.
I saw this like it was shown to me by someone. Like, it, you know, it came out and then it was a blip. But for some reason, this one guy I worked with when I was very young, like, said, oh my god, Repo the Genetic Opera. How he found out about it, I don't know. And he jumps to, at one point we're watching it, jumps to the scene where the repo man is disemboweling the guy, and I'd never seen anything like that before as a kid, and it fucked me up, man.
Oh wow.
And he uses the guy like he's a marionette.
The
puppet. Not really marionette, but a sock puppet, which is fucking horrible.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously, I didn't like it then. I really didn't like it then. But you're right, Nick, in that, like, on revisiting it, I mean, first of all, I'm not as bothered by it as I used to be, obviously. But,
right, definitely. I remember it being a lot more disturbing than it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, it's got its moments, I suppose. But, like, this is the ugliest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Mm. It really honestly is. It's like puke to the eyes. I can't stand.
I can imagine why.
I just look at this thing and it gives me anxiety. I think like every cinematic choice is frustrating.
I don't know what lenses they're using in this.
How about just the lighting and camera work?
Astounding.
It's funny because it reminds me a lot of like Tank Girl, now that I've seen Tank Girl, with the way it uses its comic book sensibility. But I don't know. Like this, that shit was horrible in this. I don't know what to make of it. It's just
the comic book stuff is very distracting. And if I were doing studio notes for this, and it's beyond saving, so why even try putting studio notes in? I would have removed the comic book sequences. Just like it takes you out of the flow of the movie and it over explains the plot to the point where you can't trust the songs anymore.
No,
like I mean that's you have so little faith in your songwriting ability to communicate what's going on or the relationships of these characters that you put in these ridiculously heavy-handed like comic book exposition pieces.
Well, that's the problem. Like, not only are they like hammering it home to like the most frustrating degree, but they're often telling you stuff you already know, mm-hmm. which I really hate. And then the songs are just re-explaining what the comic panels already told you. And they're really bad songs. Mm. I don't know if they're as bad as Annette, but they're bad.
They're bad.
Yeah, they're definitely bad.
I think they're probably worse than Annette. It's close, though.
No, I would say
it's close.
This is a little bit better. The people in this can actually sing, so I'll
I kind of like the things you see in the graveyard.
Yeah,
like that background song. That's not there. The lyrics weren't supposed to tell you anything. It was just like background music that kept coming up.
Yeah, the motif of Repo Man. That was a constant motif.
I kind of liked some of the music in this, actually. Like, I actually found some of it decent.
No, the people performing are all pretty
really
talented.
Good musicians.
Like Paul Sorvino. Oh my god, that fucking guy can sing.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I couldn't believe that. That was amazing. But here's the thing is like I appreciate like the principles of the movie for reasons you just explained, where it's like I'm always happy a movie this audacious actually exists, and that like you said, no one would ever want to make something like this at all. And the fact that they really believe in it this heavily is, you know, it's cool. I wish more movies took swings like this, I suppose. It is upsetting, though, and I say this a lot. It's like, you know, it's like just because you have an idea or just because you have a big swing doesn't mean it's going to pay off. And this is like a prime example of that. You have the ideas, but they don't really work, do they?
Right. Not at all.
Yeah.
Certainly not at all.
It's like, I'm not going to give you that much of a pass. I'll give you a pat on the head, but I'm out of there.
So this thing is directed by a guy named Darren Lynn Bousman. Yep. And Darren Lynn Bousman is, I guess at this point, like the primary Saw director.
Yep. He made Spiral.
Right. That's crazy. They brought him back for Spiral. Yep. He made Saw 2, Saw 3, and Saw 4. And Justin Lin made the first one.
James Wan.
James Wan. Sorry, racist. James Wan made the first one, and then he sort of stepped in into the next three. And I don't think any of those three, as far as I can tell, are as good as the first one.
No. I actually don't mind the second movie, but basically everything after number two is kind of terrible.
Point being, though, it's a studio director.
Yeah.
Who worked on low budget, but still studio movies that did well at the box office. It was financed by Lionsgate, which is an independent studio, or at least at the time was a fairly independent studio, but is a name. It's a brand name, and it was able to scrounge up $8.5 million. That's the budget for this movie. $8.5 million.
Well, so this movie, they made a short movie. Yeah,
well, it actually goes a lot further than that, a lot further back. Yes.
Okay.
So there were these two guys, and let me pull up their names for you right now. Darren Smith and Terrence Dundick. Zadundick.
Dunick. There's a Z in there, but I don't think you pronounce it.
Probably.
Which I also wanted to talk about him a lot.
Right.
But we can get into that more later.
He is in the movie. But these two wrote a stage play called Repo, I think. Or no, it's not called Repo. I forget now. Anyway, it's based on a non-musical play. I guess Darren Smith, when he was younger, some guy was losing his home because the bank had come to collect their debt essentially, and so he had this idea: what if in this futuristic world you could repossess body parts the same way you could repossess a car or repossess a home? So he writes this play. The play does a little run. I think in the UK, maybe I'm totally making this up, but does a short run, I guess does well locally, and they decide to, I guess, run with this idea and create a whole universe of spinoffs and such. And immediately the idea was, let's make this thing a musical. The name of the play is The Necro Merchant's Debt. The Necro Merchant's Debt. Let me just read off the Wikipedia right now. 1996 is when he developed the idea.
Wow. Okay.
It was performed at the John Raitt Theater in California in 2002. After being such a success, creator Smith and Zadundick expanded on the universe to create all of the storylines that became Repo, the Genetic Opera, later in 2002. Many changes were made gradually to the characters and music throughout the show's various incarnations all the way through 2005. The character of Rhodey, for example, was not Luigi's father, in the original version. They changed that later on, et cetera, et cetera. They added all these new songs, all these new lyrics, and eventually they thought, let's take this musical of an original play and make it into a movie. And they financed it by first making a short. I think Michael Rooker was in the short.
Oh.
I think he played the Repo Man, as a matter of fact, in the short.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Right up his alley. I actually kind of wish now Rooker was that guy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. And then it gets picked up by Lionsgate, $8.5 million. And it's opening weekend. This is a good how many Drew Carey's. What do you think the opening weekend gross on Repo, the Genetic Opera, was? Budget of $8.5
million? $1,000.
$1 million?
Sure.
No, I think it was $1,000.
You think $1,000?
Yeah.
Adam is closer. $53,000.
Oh my God. That's
$53,000 went on to gross worldwide $188,000.
Wow, that's bad.
On an $8.5 million budget.
Like when we talk about like box office failures, we say it didn't make any money. No. This did not make any money.
No, this,
this is the example that is
worse.
The most literal.
It lost a tremendous amount of money.
Almost all of its money. That's the difference. Yes. That's horrible.
Yeah,
it's quite bad. But it's gained quite a cult following.
Well, there is still quite something here. Yeah. I gotta be honest. There's something here. Like, it's a cool concept. I like what they're rolling with, you know? Watching this, I could see this working as a stage play.
Really?
Definitely. Here's the thing. You give a lot more, like, everybody gives a lot more forgiveness when it's live.
I would be curious to see what it's like as a stage play for sure.
That's one of my theories when it comes to these musicals. And not to say that Cats wasn't bad, because Cats was really bad.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, Tom Hooper, by adapting Cats for the big screen, was sort of doomed to fail.
Yeah.
Because it's, at the end of the day, a movie about a bunch of cats that want to go to heaven. And so they go to a ball to prove that they are worthy to go to heaven.
You have to know your medium.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
And so, and like, musicals are fucking stupid. All musicals are fucking stupid. And so, you know, every once in a while you get a West Side Story or you get a Grease or you get whatever. But those are, for the most part, like, grounded concepts. And you can sort of forget the fact that people are singing. But they are movies in which people living their lives break out into song out of nowhere. Hamilton is like the most beloved thing of the last 10 years. That's going to be made into a movie eventually, and it's going to be stupid. Probably. That's just the way it is. Like, musicals are doomed to fail, and so you have to give this one a little leeway in that regard.
Right. Like, you know, the lyrics, both in Annette and in this, are like really awful and over-explain what's going on. But in musicals, in theater, they have to tell you what is going on in song because you cannot see their faces from your seat.
That's a good point.
On purpose they write the lyrics that way. And watching this, like, with the grave robber, who's played by Terrence Zdunich,
the guy who made the original
Zdunich,
right. Terrence. Zdunich.
Let's call him Terrence.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of like a great sort of like little narrator to guide you through the film.
I don't mind him in the movie.
I think
at
he
all.
Was actually really awesome in this, and he has, in particular, gotten a lot of notoriety for his role here.
It is very, you know, it's the Jiminy Cricket role, right? It's the like, it's the narrator, it's the guy that breaks the fourth wall constantly, and yeah, I mean, as a carnival barker, I guess he's fun. It's not a particularly like lived in performance, right? Like, it's a very over the top sort of, but I don't know, it works. Like, you could see him in a My Chemical Romance video, right?
I guess, yeah.
Like, he definitely feels of an era, and you know, maybe it's just that it's 2008 and like the internet was just getting started, and like this thing, you know, now it would have come out and like a subreddit would have been like just committed to this thing whole hog, whereas then I don't feel like they knew how to market this. Like, it's
how
hard
do
to
you
put
market
a,
this?
You can't, right? You can't put a trailer for this during a Sunday night football game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't like just blast it out to a mass audience. You need to like target it, right? You need to use like very like sort of what's the word? Just very like, yeah, just uber specific targeting.
You don't spend $8 million on it. There's also that.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, even if you target it, it's not going to make back its money. It's not like that. It's not something that, you know, would bring in any audience like that. The funny thing about this one, too, and this sometimes happens with musicals, is that I'll look at them and I'll be like, why was this a musical? I mean, I don't know. The concept is incredibly visual and it's striking and it's popping. And, you know, like there's lots of visual storytelling techniques that you could use for something like this. But I kept wondering why they were being so expository about it. You know, it's like, it's, I guess what we were talking about, it's not really something I would picture as a musical to begin with. And it shows, because they did this movie essentially again with Jude Law a couple of years later called Repo Men. And
is that right?
It's the exact same movie, basically.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's about men who it's in the future, and you know, people are this company's giving out these organs that like save your life, but if you don't pay the bills, these men come and take your heart out, basically.
Yeah. Well, and it's because it is a cool concept.
Yes, I love the concept.
It's a very fun concept, and I think there's actually a lot you can do with it.
A lot of great tension that can happen with these moments. And that, you know, honestly, I don't like that movie at all, the Repo Men movie, but it's got those moments where it's like, ooh, they're sneaking into this house and it's really dark and they're going to, Jude Law's putting on the gloves, he's going to cut them up. Like, I kind of like some of that, but
But as you can see, though, they didn't originally conceive of this as a musical, right? Like, yeah. It's a, and it totally makes sense in hindsight that it's just an idea that you have for like a straight horror movie. And it just ended up on the theater because they didn't have enough money to make it as a movie, right?
I guess that's a good point, yeah.
So
you didn't need to make it as a musical, though. I don't know. I'm not sure the musical element adds anything to the movie.
I'm kind of into the absurdity of it. I don't know.
I like, yeah, well, some of the absurdity. But
just, I'm just going to put this out there. Terrence did not stop. He's made another movie like this.
Has he?
In 2016, called Alleluia, Devil's Carnival. Alleluia, oh. The Devil's Carnival. He plays Lucifer. So you were talking about the sort of carnival man.
Oh,
he's literally Lucifer. And they are plotting against heaven to start a war. And it is another horror musical, just like
is
this.
It?
Yes.
Okay.
So... and this too,
that's a sequel to 2012's The Devil's Carnival.
Well, right. So I'm assuming that this is like a, oh, I was assuming the original 2012 Devil's Carnival was kind of like the short again.
No, but these are both feature length musicals.
Okay. So he's made two more since then. And mind you, I just want to tell you that Paul Sorvino is in Alleluia Devil's Carnival.
That
the Devil's
is
Carnival.
What?
He's in it again.
He went back to the well.
Wow, he enjoyed working on this.
That is phenomenal.
Holy shit.
Dude, Paul Sorvino can't just get like a fucking...
Oh, Paul Sorvino plays God in both of them.
Oh my
apparently.
God.
They can't just give Paul Sorvino a Chicago show.
He hasn't been doing very well in terms of, I don't know, the types of roles he likes to choose. You know,
I guess he was in Law and Order.
Yeah. I don't know. He's been very hit or miss since Goodfellas. Sorry, dude.
Was he in Sopranos?
I don't know.
I think he was. He must have been, right?
I'd like to mention, by the way, that I have the picture of the Parrot Man. It's finally
on my
phone.
Oh,
so
God. All right. Yeah, just
on.
Let me.
See it, Nick?
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty terrible.
You didn't tell me he didn't button the top button, Nico. You left that detail out conveniently.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot
oh,
of man cleavage.
Boy, yeah. He's one. He was taken after me. Jesus Christ.
I can't believe Abby took pictures of the fucking
guy. I know. I was like, I'm coming with you to the car, okay?
Not letting him show you the back of the trunk.
No.
I don't know. I would have left her behind.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, the fact that Paul Sorvino is just like, yeah, I need more of this expanded universe. That's nuts.
This is how he gets his kicks.
It shocked me that he was in it, to be honest with you. I just thought that, I guess, yeah, I assumed that he had gotten better roles after Goodfellas, and I guess that's not the case.
I've seen him in a lot of shit, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he pops up all the time as, like, the goon
yeah.
in things.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the cop that, like, you know, the cop that they pass off all the bad cases to in like, CSI Miami. Yeah, so my other thought on this, going back to what you said about the songs being bad. Okay, independent musicals are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Why are independent musicals hard? Because making movies are hard enough, and putting songwriting on top of that is even more impossible. Like, making a good song is almost harder than making a good movie, in that you can't, like, buy your way out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get good songwriters in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, a bad songwriter, you know, let's say, put it this way, a bad filmmaker with a great camera or great lighting or whatever can cover up some of the mistakes. A bad songwriter with a great piano or a great guitar isn't going to cover up any of the mistakes. So, like, unless you get professionals in the room to write good musical songs, you're going to look ridiculous. Because often the worst part of movies, independent movies, is the sound. Sound design. So don't make a movie that is about sound.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
I actually yeah. really kind of think the music works in this. I mean, it's awful. Like, the lyrics are awful, but I don't think the music is awful. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, the instrumental music?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess you're right, but then there's also like the sheer amount of lyrical work that's being done. I mean, there's a lot of singing in this movie. It's basically all sung.
That's true, but like, you can tell that they knew what a musical should kind of be like here. I mean, they had like their songs that were reoccurring, like mm-hmm. in particular settings or particular types of scenes. They like characters had particular songs that would be in the background for them in the same way that a musical would.
Yeah.
And it was effective yeah. in that way.
Kind of sounded like royalty free music.
They had Joan Jett playing guitar at one point.
They did have Joan Jett. Blew my fucking mind.
Joan Jett was in this?
That remember the lady on the guitar who was playing while Alexa Penavega was like singing about being 17?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That was Joan Jett.
That's the best scene in the movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
It's kind of cringe. I don't know. It's kind of cringe.
It's fucking awful. What are you talking about?
17's better than being 40? Yeah,
I was going to argue it's the worst scene in the movie.
Disagree.
It's fucking awful.
It just seems like a teenager bitching.
Yeah, look, she does not do a good job. It looks like dog shit.
She's kind of the worst part of this movie. Yeah, no offense to her. Like, she tried her best. You know, she tried her
hardest. I hate that song.
I disagree. That was my favorite song in the movie.
What?
Yeah. It was like Avril Lavigne. Like, just like emo punk. Like, it just, it's, you know.
It's the worst kind of Avril Lavigne if you're going
to
make that.
He was a skater boy. She said, see you later. Just brought me back, man. Brought me back to a fonder time.
Well, it's not good, though. I don't give a fuck if it brings you back to a better time. It sucks.
I guess I'm just like into the movie turning into the absurdity, staring right into it, looking directly into the abyss. And that's what that scene did. You know, it's just like, let's get the background dancers in here. Let's get the stuffed animals in the bedroom dancing. Let's bring like a mosh pit into the closet. Yeah. Joan Jett playing guitar. Yeah. I'm into it.
It's not even the most absurd thing in the movie, though.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton's face falls off.
Does.
Do you remember that? Her face fucking falls off on stage.
I know. I know. I know it's felt that way the last couple of years, yeah. But it actually happened in this.
Oh, I hated that scene so much. But the funny thing about it was that, like, I'm watching him, like, ish, you know, doing a little bit of Joan Jett here, aren't you? And then cut to Joan Jett. Oh my god, that's the best thing about my experience with that scene. I'll give it that.
It was like when I was watching Uncut Gems, and I'm like, man, it's crazy they haven't done any Billy Joel music yet in this. And I just hear bam 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 like 10 seconds after I thought it.
That's always great when that happens in a movie. Fantastic. It's the best, yeah.
I don't know. I also really was into the Blind Mag.
Blind Mag.
Is that her name?
Yes. Blind Mag.
You like the image of Blind Mag?
No, I like when she fucking rips her eyes out at the end.
Pretty good.
That was fine. Do you like when they say, let's tell you the story of Blind Mag. They go into the comic panels.
No.
Mag is blind.
That didn't crack me up. It's like, no, it's just they wanted you to understand this is not the story of how she went blind. She's already blind. we're just gonna put that out there. All right? She starts out blind.
Yes. Yeah, God. Go through some of these scenes, Nick, and then because I got some thoughts on them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try my best to run through the movie, I suppose. After we are introduced to the world and the setting, which takes about 15 minutes, we are introduced to Shiloh, which is played by Spy Kid, Alexa Penavega.
Spy Kid.
She is...
Former Spy Kid.
Dude, what are they doing a Spy Kids reboot, by the way?
Yeah, like Spy Adults.
Yeah, Spy Adults.
Or She's the Parent.
James Bond.
Have they done that yet? I think they have, actually.
They have not done a Spy.
I think they have.
What?
Yeah.
If they haven't, it's got to be in the works.
Oh, no. I think they made a Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Nah, that's not what I'm talking about.
It's the same movie, isn't it?
No, no, no. I'm talking Spy. I want to see those two kids grown up
with
doing
their
more
kids.
Spy Kids shit.
They're the parents and uncle and whatever now.
Is that not the same girl?
It is. She's in Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Is she?
Isn't it her and Taylor Lautner?
Hey, is it? I didn't know that.
Maybe pretty sure it's her. She's Lava Girl and Taylor Lautner is Shark Boy.
They did do a Shark Boy Lava Girl reboot. I know that, yes. But they didn't do that with Spy Kids. We need Spy Kids, man.
It is not the same girl.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, wait, you're talking about in the reboot. She does not play her in the reboot.
No, I'm talking about the original.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. It is actually the same girl reprises her role in the reboot.
Wow.
Wow.
Taylor Lautner does not.
Go figure.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I could have sworn it was her. Nope. I never watched that movie, though. I only saw the commercials.
Saw it in the theater, 3D glasses.
Oh, my God.
George Lopez bursting into my face. Protruding from the screen into my face.
We'd never ask for that.
Disturbing experience as a kid. I was so psyched for that movie. I don't know why.
Why were you psyched?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I love the idea of 3D.
Oh my god!
I loved it. I don't
who
know
who were you.
I don't know. I don't know who this child was. Jeez. What year was that? 2003.
Oh my god!
I saw that opening day. 2005. I was 10. Goodness me.
I really like that second Spy Kids movie. By the way, I'd love to talk about that one of these days.
Do you like the third one?
Oh, that's the one with Stallone, isn't it?
Yes.
No.
Third one. Of course, saw it in the theater. Obviously.
You did.
Yeah, obviously. Also bought the thing on DVD in 3D, came with the 3D glasses,
yep.
Watched it in 3D on my television constantly.
That was my favorite Spy Kids as a kid, the third one.
Obviously, because because you can see it in like 3D.
Well, I also just like I liked that one a lot when I was younger. It's awful.
It's kind of the Space movie. Jam New Legacy of the Spy Kids franchise.
Oh, really?
Digital world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Okay.
They're in a virtual reality game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Stallone plays an evil toy maker.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That's fitting. What's the one with the ride that like juggles kids? I think, is that the second or third one?
The ride that juggles kids.
There's like a theme park ride. And it puts you in this like ball and the ride juggles you.
I believe that's the second one.
Okay.
Because they're on like an island.
Yes.
The island of lost dreams, they call it.
I always loved that. That was always cool.
Buscemi's in that movie.
Yeah. Yes, he is. He's afraid of getting eaten by all the creatures. I remember that.
Yeah.
With, of course, Danny Trejo and Cheech Marin. I just love what they did with Machete, too. That's the greatest. That they made Machete into like a hard R grindhouse character.
Is he Machete in there?
Yeah.
He what?
That's when the Machete character is introduced.
He's no.
Yes.
Machete's in like Desperado and shit. Isn't he?
I believe Machete's first appearance is in the first Spy Kids movie.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realize that was Machete.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Let me
I just typed in Machete first appearance, Spy Kids 2001.
Yes. Damn.
Right.
I didn't realize that.
Oh my god, is he also in Shark Boy and Lava Girl? I don't know.
What is this expanded universe Robert Rodriguez has created? If he pops up in The Mandalorian, I'm gonna flip a shit.
It's crazy.
When I met Danny, I said, this guy should be like the Mexican Jean-Claude Van Damme or Charles Bronson, putting out a movie every year, and his name should be Machete.
Jesus Christ.
Appearances. Spy Kids. Spy Kids 2. Spy Kids 3D. Grindhouse Machete. Spy Kids All the Time in the World. And Machete Kills.
He's in the fourth one, too!
Wow. What is he doing in the fourth one at that point?
He came after he was in the lake with a topless Lindsay Lohan. After Lindsay Lohan showed her boobs to Machete, they brought him back for another Spy Kids.
Are we doing a Spy Kids month?
That's insane.
That's fucked up.
That is crazy. Because that movie, I don't know how well it did at the box office, but I remember it being like pretty edgy. Like I remember like kids being like, yo, you know that Lindsay Lohan shows her tits in the new Machete movie?
I love this. On his Wikipedia page, it says his occupation is assassin and his status is alive.
And nothing else.
That's it.
Yeah, Rodriguez is...
Holy shit.
That is a once-in-a-generation filmmaker in that there has never been a guy like that and there will never be a guy like that ever again.
That cares about those things in movies?
He has such a specific taste.
Yeah.
It's like I'm either making them for my kids or I am making them for perverts. It is one or two.
And what a weird dichotomy that is.
Right. Which there's a lot of overlap, actually.
I never saw. Apparently, Alita was actually okay. I was shocked to hear that.
The Alita hive is strong, man.
Is it?
The Alita hive has been buzzing for a couple years.
I kind of want to see it. I'm very curious.
Alita has its defenders, let me tell you.
All right. All right.
The Alita Army.
The Alita
sounds like there's
Army.
A lot of Rodriguez we could look into.
I just want to know what a battle angel is.
Isn't it like a type of android? Is that the idea? I never read the manga or anything like that, but I don't know.
Oh, you didn't read the manga?
I never read the manga. You fucker.
You're not a real fan.
You're not.
That's right.
Fucking cringe. All right, so Spy Kid. she has a rare blood disease, so she snuck out of her house in the middle of the night and meets the grave robber, who shows her, or illustrates to us, I guess, that you can extract blue goo out of dead people, mm-hmm. and it's a really powerful painkiller.
That's right.
I don't know how, but just is. Yep. You just extract goo out of dead people. Mm-hmm. And being caught with him should be a death sentence, but for some reason she is saved at the last second by the big bad who runs Gene Co. and the Repo Man.
Played by Paul Sorvino. He's, yeah, the suit at the top of the tower.
Right.
And Gene Co. is the company that is responsible for, like,
giving out loans for body parts.
Right.
And yeah,
basically, and they live in a CGI tower. Yes. That must have cost a lot of money in 2008.
It looks awful.
It looks horrendous, but also very expensive. It's a really weird yeah. dichotomy.
A lot of CGI looks expensive and terrible.
Yeah, they did a lot of animation in that one.
It's interesting, actually. The worse it looks, the more expensive it looks. You ever notice that?
Yeah, just like shoot the outside of a building and be done with it.
Just know how to light your fucking fake thing.
Yeah, just whatever. Like, just, yeah, shoot Sears Tower and just, I don't know, like, put some blue filters on it and you're done.
Why does Jurassic Park still look better than Star Wars today?
Makes no sense.
It does. It actually does.
Makes no sense. I know. Looks better than Black Panther.
Yes.
Makes no sense. What are we doing? What are we doing? We brought the fucking dinosaurs back from the dead in 1993.
1993?
I know. Now we can't fucking remove Henry Cavill's mustache. Yeah. What the hell? What the hell?
Oh my God.
I think it's fair to say, actually, the first half of this movie is just introducing the world and the characters.
Yes.
Each character gets their little monologue. So we're introduced to her father, who is a doctor. He's responsible for killing her mother by accident. And it also turns out that he is, in fact, the Repo Man. That is his secret identity. He is the guy who is hired to go around and collect organs from people who can't pay their debts.
Which, by the way, would you ever take out a payment for one of those things? I don't know if I would ever be so stupid to do something like
that. Well, if you are about to die, if you're in the hospital bed, like they portray in that little comic strip, like you have, you know, 1 day left to live before your heart fails, but we can give you a new heart, but you have to sign the dotted line. Like, who's not going to sign the dotted line?
Hey, these people never owned a credit card. You're going to miss payments. It happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they tell you. I don't know if they tell you up front, like, oh, yeah, if you miss a payment, we're going to rip your fucking heart out of your body.
We're sending a serial killer.
Between the lines, people.
I don't know if that's going to be in the fine print exactly, Adam. But.
But this is a big ass, the shitty now, corporation. I don't know, but.
Yeah, would I pay for, like, a boob job from them?
No, okay, that yes, probably no, not. I would do that. I'd get a boob job from them. I could use one, honestly.
But then we're also introduced to, obviously, the head of the company. He goes on his monologue about he actually is the one who killed her mother, haha, because she rejected him, haha.
I don't understand this whole plot.
Me neither.
Like, try your best, Nick.
Well,
I love that.
Marnie. The head of the corporation loved her.
Uh-huh.
And then she left him for Norman, who is the father, who is the Repo Man. And to get revenge on her for leaving him, he tricks Norman into killing her with poison.
Right. So he kills her.
That's the revenge. Gotcha. You rejected me. Now I kill you.
Yeah. The movie implies, though, that there was a greater intentionality to this, whereas.
Like, well, it was also like to make him feel guilty for killing his own wife.
So therefore he does what? Becomes the Repo Man.
Yeah, he owns him. I guess this guy's guilt. Literally, the implication here is that he uses Norman's guilt to force him to do these things.
Or that now he has a secret that he can now dangle over Norman. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and there's also something about Norman the father is apparently actually poisoning his daughter. She doesn't actually have a blood disease.
Keeping her sick.
He's keeping her sick to keep her safe.
I never liked
which
that.
Which I don't get that. I don't really. Yeah. I don't know where that comes in.
That's a thread that I've seen in a lot of horror movies, and it always annoys me to a degree. There's only one movie I've seen that I actually liked it, and it was called Run. Otherwise,
it's
though, okay.
It's all right in run. Yeah, but that's also the point of the movie,
yes,
though.
Exactly.
How about like Bubble Boy? It works there.
Bubble Boy. I never saw Bubble Boy. That's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, it's also the point of the movie.
Okay.
very explicitly.
It is actually. It's not the point of the show, but it's a revelation made in that.
Sharp objects.
Yeah, the Amy Adams. Yeah, yeah, sharp objects.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I know all about it, but apparently it's not good.
I don't like it at all. I actually really don't like it. I do like that there's just Led Zeppelin music scattered throughout the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. So Amy Adams is a journalist that comes back home to like live with her mom, and she's like really sad all the time, and she cuts herself. So that's beat number one, character beat number one. Character beat number two is she only listens to Led Zeppelin in her car when she drives, and that's all you know about the character.
Okay.
They make it like a big part of her character, and they must have paid a lot of money for these songs because there's a lot of Zeppelin songs.
I can learn something about someone if they're constantly listening to Led Zeppelin. Yeah. It's not nothing.
Right. It is the only good thing about that show is that you'll just hear what is and what should never be. Just play for like 2 minutes. And it's like, yeah, you really licensed the shit out of this songbook, HBO. Kept me going throughout that whole thing.
Any good times, bad times in that? I love that song.
I don't know. They play like a lot. They play like Tangerine. They play like a lot of like the deep cuts. Yeah, kind of like the acoustic, you know, melancholic Zeppelin stuff.
I love Tangerine a lot. You know. Yeah.
They're not really playing Black Dog. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Maybe they...
Dazed and Confused? Sounds like they could use Dazed and Confused in a show like that.
Now I got to see what songs they use.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Go ahead, Nick. Continue.
The plot actually kind of picks up where the head of the corporation, Jinko, is dying. He has like a terminal illness and not much time left. And his three kids are Paris Hilton. I don't know the other two, but basically his daughter, Paris, is like self-absorbed, wants to be a star, wants to be beautiful. Perfect role for Paris.
Yes.
One of them is literally Don Jr. I don't know how else to explain it. He's Don Jr. And the other guy... literally has like he gets faces attached over his face with like giant bolts to like try to look pretty, and he speaks with like a fucking Italian accent even though nobody else does.
They're all Italian. They have Italian names. It's like Vito and
no, but he's
Luigi
the only one who speaks with an Italian accent.
Right.
The other two are completely normal.
Another reason why I didn't like this film is because I see that guy with the plastic face and it's giving me Vanilla Sky flashbacks, and I just
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't tell me. I have it.
Oh, no.
So it's an aesthetic regenerative shield.
Fucking mask!
But the three kids are basically all fighting over who their dad's going to leave the company to. He doesn't want to leave it to any of them because he thinks they're all imbeciles. So yes. He actually invites Shiloh, Spy Kid Shiloh, to sneak out. And he wants to basically... turn the company over to her and also have her replace Blind Mag, right? Isn't that kind of the idea?
Yes.
He wants to kill Blind Mag, who is literally a blind woman. He gave her eyes in exchange for a life of servitude, being a performer and propaganda piece for the company.
Right, but okay. Blind Mag is also trying to warn Shiloh of the truth, though.
Right.
Yeah. So that's that problem there.
And then he hires Repo Man to kill Blind Mag. He doesn't want to do it because Blind Mag was Marley, his dead wife's best friend. So it comes down to this big like penultimate moment where he basically tells Shiloh to kill her father and he'll leave her the company after he's already killed Blind Mag, right, who... ripped out her own eyes on stage in front of everybody in sort of this final moment of like, I would rather be free than be able to see kind of thing, because she is in this servitude because of the eyes. It's kind of a cool moment. And then he just drops the ropes that she's hanging from and she dies. That's basically the movie. Yeah, I know. It made no sense. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's basically the movie.
God, I don't know.
The plot is terrible.
I don't know. This movie really beat me down. I don't know.
About it, though. You know what? It's like we've kind of said it briefly. We've kind of danced around this. Like, the movie nails the aesthetic. Like, really.
It knows what it is.
Well, it nails the production design. I'll give it that.
I think the production design is actually really good.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think it's properly filmed. Like, one of the things that was really frustrating about it to me was that, like, I'm watching it and, like, visually, in terms of, like, how it's directed, how the camera's moved, how it's lit, it's not very inventive to me at all. It's very, like, stiff. And it's kind of boring to watch in that way. Aside from, like, I guess they're dressing the set quite nicely, but they're not doing much besides that. The dance numbers are just like people grinding on each other for like 30 seconds and then it's over. Mm-hmm. And it would have been maybe a little better if I liked the music, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, How about the weird overexposedness of the entire film?
Which just made it so fucking ugly. Oh, I hated the way this movie looked.
It looked like Nico's face looks right now on our webcam.
How dare you?
It's like anybody who has ever edited video, take the bloom effect and just drag right. it over your footage, the whole movie.
Yeah. very specific reference, Nick.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. That's the only way I know to explain it, though, because I don't understand how cameras work.
Just open up that aperture, man.
Listen, I love a comically evil person. I kind of love the kids in this. They're kind of like the Succession goofy. Kids taken to the extreme. Don Jr. I think is an apt comparison too. I love how much the Don Jr. character, that Luigi is the name of the character, by the way, and Bill Moseley is the name of the actor. He kind of reminds me of Kenny Banyan from Seinfeld, that guy.
Oh my God.
He's got like that really irritating face. And he just kills people out of nowhere. Little things will set him off and he'll just stab someone.
Someone gave him coffee and he didn't like it. And he just began stabbing them in the chest.
It is the absolute best. It just kills me every time. A character like that does something so grotesque to the minor thing. At the beginning, he stabs like the girl in the, like, they're just like, These kids are constantly surrounded by scantily clad women. Yep. And when he just gets frustrated, he'll just stab one of them and just rip her heart out for no reason. It's really good. And they're having a big argument. That's actually a great musical number too.
I liked that scene a lot.
Yeah.
It was that scene in relation to the rest of the movie, like the whole movie seemed to be taking itself kind of seriously until that scene. Yes. And it kind of hits you over the head.
When you hear the sound effects, though, like there's a lot of instances where it uses like comical sound effects, like when they're cutting the guy open, they use like the Repo Man's like having a good time and he's like flying around. He's using his arms as wings, and you can hear plane sound effects as he's flying. Like when he rips the guy's intestines out, it makes like a boing kind of sound, you know,
but
a spring does.
Watching some of those scenes, though, like, can you imagine sitting in an audience watching them on stage and how fun it would actually be?
Right.
Yeah, I kept thinking that. No, honestly, I think this, I go back to that. It would have been a very interesting theatrical experience.
Like when the three kids are arguing and tossing organs at each other, one of them has a mask for a face or whatever. And then there's just that one girl from the beginning of the musical number to the end, just lying on the floor, slowly bleeding out and dying. Like on a stage, just imagining this one person and their role is like, you're just going to be dying and just bleeding on the stage for 10 minutes.
And it would also be very fun, too, to see, like, a shadow cast version of this. Like, if you, which I think they still do, it's a big midnight movie, kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show, and people will just go up to the screen and, like, perform along with the movie, and that's, I would love to see that. I do understand why this is, like, instantly a cult classic in that way. I think I'm talking myself into it. I think that's what's happening right now. I've talked myself into this movie by the end of it.
Yeah, I feel like we keep going back and forth with saying it's terrible, but I liked this about it. I don't know. I mean, it's like, I guess the way to put it is like there was no shot in hell that it was ever gonna be good. So if you're okay with that, you can find little things to enjoy.
I guess.
I think I'd rather watch this on the stage than Annette.
Oh my God, yeah. I'll give it that.
I'd rather watch this movie than Annette.
Annette is probably objectively the better film.
Insufferable compared to this. Awful. This is just such good fun. And then by that metric, like, why is this not the better movie? Right?
It's not. It's really poorly made. So there is.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad filmmaking.
It's really poorly made.
It's made by people who don't know how to make movies, but.
I just think the production is a fucking mess. And yeah, like I said, I would have preferred like some stronger direction at the very least, but it doesn't have that at all. But it's something, man.
It is something.
It is something.
Why are my genetics such a bitch? We'll never know.
That song felt like very out of place, but it also felt like the most relatable real life number in this. Like, that's the type of thing that I can actually see like being a real song that people can relate to and actually enjoy. But it didn't fit in this movie.
No. No. I agree.
I don't know.
Someday I'll grow up and I'll be same thing. The savior of the broken. Same thing, right? Basically.
I guess.
Why am I genetics such a bitch? I don't know. Why are you such a bitch for listening to My Chemical Romance? That's my question.
Yeah. I like teenagers, I guess. That's a fine song.
Oh, the song. Oh. Good save.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank God they had a song called Teenagers.
You went in a that different a direction
great,
than that.
That was a great, great save by you.
My apologies.
Anything else?
This movie does nothing for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I enjoyed it. Sue me. Here we go. How many? Drew Gehring. I guess, is Joan Jett a good option here?
Not Paul Sorvino?
No.
No?
What's Sorvino doing these days?
Come I don't on. Know, but hey.
What's Joan Jett doing these days?
She still performs, you know? Joni.
Does she?
Know. Yeah.
I'm going to see if Joan Jett's coming to a venue near us. Apparently, Lil Baby was at West Farms Mall the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mom didn't run into him, but talked to people that did.
Wow, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Cheap Trick. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Cheap Trick.
That's a fun double bill.
Coming to Riverbend in Cincinnati.
What is Drew Carey worth again? I can't remember.
$180 million is the net worth of Drew Carey.
Okay. I'll go 1-1.
Oops, sorry. They already came to Cincinnati.
Oh.
Already came.
Interesting.
No. Oh, yeah, they did.
1-1, you said?
Yeah, sure. She's been around for a while.
Playing City Field.
Yeah.
Junk Jet.
You'd think she's worth a lot.
Have I told you guys? Oh, they listen to this lineup. Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts.
Wow.
That's a show. I go to that.
I'll give Joan
one of the
Jett.
Performers may drop dead within that show. it's a great.
I'll give her 1.3 Drew Carey. So say about 240.
240. Ooh, okay.
Have I told you guys I'm seeing the Jonas Brothers in 2 weeks?
Yes.
What's they wrong still with perform?
That? Just want everybody to commiserate.
They still perform?
Commiserating with me.
Wait, they perform together, the three of them?
They do indeed.
I thought they stopped performing together, the three of
no,
them.
No, they're back. They're brothers again.
They're brothers again.
Yeah. They're brothers again. Oh.
Brothers for life, man.
Is that the name of the tour?
Blood is thicker than water.
Is that the name of the tour?
No. I think the name of the tour is Remember This.
Oh. That's awful. They should have said Brothers Forever. That would
if they don't do SOS and I like drop the bag on fucking Jonas Brother tickets and like sat through a 3-hour show with whoever the opening act is.
Look, they got like 4 or 5 good songs.
They do?
Yeah, they're all right.
Besides SOS, what else?
I don't know. I've heard them on the radio and they're fine. They're the fine.
New ones? The no, new, I don't know.
No, their older stuff was what I'm talking about. It'll yeah, be I'm, fine. It won't be I'm the not, worst concert. I went to Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco for a concert.
Panic at the Disco.
I'd rather go see the Jonas Brothers.
You know, I might actually rather go see Jonas Brothers than Panic at the Disco. Fucking hate Panic at the Disco.
But yeah, I'll give her 240. A little over Drew.
A little over Drew. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will say $80 million for Joan Jett.
Okay. Any one of these could be right. What is your guess again?
$180
million. Wow. Okay. The actual net worth of Joan Jett. $10
million. Oh, that's unfortunate.
I feel guilty for winning this week's edition of How Many Drew Cares?
$10 million.
Am I on a roll lately?
No, I think I won last one.
I feel like I've been winning a lot.
Or maybe I won the one before.
Why do you
feel like I've been winning quite a bit?
Why is she worth so little?
Yeah, that's
is it because she made most of her money before inflation?
Maybe.
Is it drugs? Did she have a drug problem?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think so.
I could also picture her having, like, donated a lot of money.
That's also possible. That seems very low. Eh, whatever. Joan Jett net worth.
Okay. I'm looking for the Jonas Brothers songs. I don't remember any of these. Hello, beautiful. Good night and goodbye. Please be mine. It's just SOS.
Not Sucker.
I believe that's a solo song. Is that a Nick Jonas song, I think?
Song by Jonas Brothers.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll be doing that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a good concert in a long time.
Yeah.
I've just been to like crappy show after crappy show. Yeah.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll do it. Next week, you'll be here, Nick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Nick's bachelor weekend.
Oh.
The week before he gets married.
All right. We're going to try to find a musical?
A week of freedom left. Yeah, a week of freedom left, Nick. Suck it in. Enjoy it while you can.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
What are we doing?
We'll do something. Yeah, we'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out.
And then we have a few more musicals lined up, I think.
We do.
Yes.
We definitely have one more, and I'm sure we'll have... If you have any recommendations, obviously, put them in the Discord. Let us know. You can find the link in the description for the show.
And I am tempted to, at some point, look into this guy's second film.
Wow. You guys like this movie.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, maybe have to. I don't know. Stick a pin in that.
Yeah.
Stick a pin in that. But yeah, we will be doing bad musicals throughout the month. Or not bad, but... strange offbeat musicals.
I think just a musical to screen is destined to be pretty bad, so you're pretty safe picking anything.
Right.
You're very harsh on musicals, the two of you.
I hate musicals.
I like musicals live.
I love musicals.
Live.
Great.
Live are great. I just don't like them on the screen.
Singing in the Rain is like a top 50 movie for me. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. It's great, though. It's like all time great. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah, that'll do it. What's going on the website this week? Adam and I are doing a movie Hall of Fame with a bunch of random ass movies that we cobbled together. Should be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with Fantasy Book of the Month, Nick?
We should have our September episode coming out soon.
Cool.
Okay, so,
what are you doing in the month of September?
Don't put me on the spot like that. We record them like 2 months in advance. I always forget the order.
2 cents will be back. A lot of tales, I'm sure. I know I just have a lot of stories. I've been just like filling up my notes app with just stuff to talk about on that show. So I'm sure that'll be a packed show.
Oh my God.
And
Arthurian legend.
Arthurian legend. Oh,
yes.
You should watch The Green Knight.
You should.
Yeah. It's decent.
Oh yes. Green Knight.
Yeah. Green Knight's good. And what else? Oh, there should be a new Cultured video. I've taken 3 months off because I've been very busy, but I mean, back on the wagon because Kanye West has a new album out and I need to talk about it. So there will be a video coming to a YouTube channel near you. Subscribe. I think there should be a link to that on the website as well.
Make sure you get Dunky for that video. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah. My review of Donda and my theory about the shifting cultures of America.
Of America?
Yeah. I made a very big point.
Shifting cultures?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Kanye is a bellwether for many things.
Ah.
Okay? Like... Yeah.
Why do you keep treating culture like it's not fractured as fuck?
Well, that's sort of the point of the video. But anyway, check it out. Go. Yeah. All right. That's it. Love you. Till next time. You and you and myself have been so very, very naughty.
Naughty.
Naughty.